All right. It's 2 days away. Next button there, Dalton. 2 days away is Valentine's Day. How many of you have been planning for Valentine's Day for the last 2 months? Nobody? How many women have been planning it in their mind for the last 2 months, thinking about what is going to happen, what they're expecting to have happen? Anybody? How many of you guys have been dreading it for the last 2 months? Okay, there we go. Well said, well said. Valentine's Day. When Doug challenged that, or not really challenged, asked me if I would talk a little bit about love before Valentine's Day. Did you challenge me? Okay, he did. He challenged me. I actually kind of got excited about it because there was certainly a point in my life. I was thinking back, what was the first difficult Valentine's Day for me? It was 1985. So how many of you weren't born in 85? That's so disappointing. 85 was the first Valentine's Day that Jill and I were dating. So that was back a while. So I don't remember what I did, but I do remember it being a challenge. Because you know what? You can't top a dad. And I remember that her dad, he bought a bear and a box of candy. It was like nothing. Like he walked into a store and just bought it and brought it home. And yet there was no possible way I could top what a dad does. You know, that's the way that works. And so I was completely killed on this thing. Didn't know what to do. So my goal for you guys is, and my prayer is that I'm going to say something today, or God will say something through me that will help you guys, if not help you in 2 days, and gals, if it doesn't help you in 2 days, hopefully it will help you in the years to come to make a Valentine's Day, to make any day filled with love a little bit better. Dalton, next slide. So I just want to hear what you guys think. What is Valentine's Day? What's the point of Valentine's Day? What'd you say? Singles Awareness Day. That's funny. Yeah. There are certainly a number of businesses that that love Valentine's Day. In fact, I was reading about pizza places. Because what do you buy when you buy a pizza on Valentine's Day? A heart-shaped pizza? Anybody planning to buy a heart? Apparently, it's become quite the business. And there are pizza places that are actually being overrun on Valentine's Day because you can buy a heart-shaped pizza. So it's kind of interesting. What else is the point of Valentine's Day?
It was my anniversary.
It was your anniversary. Wow. Didn't happen. What a sad story. I'm sorry. That's heartbreaking right there.
I kind of had that coming because it was a manipulative gesture on my part in the first place.
Okay, right. It goes both ways, huh?
Yeah.
Cuts both ways. What do you guys think Valentine's Day ought to be? Yeah. Well said. Should be a day to spend time showing people how much you care, or being with people that you care about. Without spending money, says the cheap guy on the front row. You don't have any money because you only worked like 100 hours last week, so poor kid. 107 to be clear. Yes, thank you. All right. What else should Valentine's Day be? Anything? Dalton, go to the next slide. I want you guys to read this. Imagine you're a lady and you open up a card stuck on your windshield on Valentine's Day. You walk out to your car, stuck on your windshield, stuck in the basket on your bike, if that's what you do. And you pick it out and it says Happy Valentine's Day on the outside. You open up the card slowly and it says, I love the way you hold me. Oh, is that nice? Is that nice? Right? Oh, come on. I love the way you hold me. Now, imagine you're a guy and you go out to your jacked up 4x4 and you crawl up on it and you realize there's one stuck under the windshield of that, so you know they went to a lot of effort to get up there to do it. And it says, Happy Valentine's Day. And you open it up and you read, I love the way you hold me. Now, are guys going to take this the same way as girls in general? Doug's giggling like a little kid over there. No. What'd you say, Herb? Somebody said something. Oh, we'll just leave that be. Okay, very well. All right. I love the way you hold me. I want to think about what kind of love this is. Dalton, go to the next bullet point. When you think about love, to me, it's one of these confusing words. It's just like all-encompassing word that means tons of things. You know, you love chocolate, or you love this, or you love someone. Then it goes on beyond that. And so hit the next button there. I normally think about love from kind of a Greek Bible kind of thing as one of two words. There's actually kind of four different words that it tends to break down into, but there's really two main ones. The first one is eros, which kind of sounds like erotic a little bit, right? So it's a little link there. There's four bullet points there. Just pull them all up. It's passionate love. It's sensual desire. It's external beauty tends to be tied into this eros love. It's the fact that a person sees someone, let's say a girl or a guy sees another person and, you know, kind of automatically have that trigger like, I'm kind of interested in them. It's the way a lot of dating starts. Is that fair? A lot of dating starts with that kind of love. You see someone, you think they're attractive. Man, you guys are really quiet. Are we scared about this? Now, the scary thing is, for me, sometimes marriage happens based on this. Anybody ever seen that happen? What about like the 60-year-old rich movie star that marries the 20-year-old model and says, I don't really care that she's pretty. She's just the most intellectual person I've ever met. Right? And you're like, liar. No possible way that's the truth. No possible way. You have nothing in common with her. All right? The other kind of love, Dalton, bring up, is the agape love. And I love this definition that I found for agape love because I think it really speaks to it. It says the unconditional love of God. The unconditional love that God shows toward us. Unconditional. The unconditional love we ought to be showing toward God. The unconditional love that spouses and friends ought to be showing toward each other. Unconditional love. The kind of love that really the Bible talks a lot about. This is that deep, heartfelt love well beyond this eros thing. Now, eros can kind of, you know, these can get very blurred as to which is which here. Now, go to the next slide. I think that's the one I want to talk. Okay, so, I love the way you hold me. Is that eros or agape love? Depends. If maybe one of the wives or a girlfriend in here, if you open up that card that says, I love the way you hold me, does your brain go more toward an eros or more toward an agape? Agape. I think in general, that's not bad. What do you guys, we'll ask the women this. What do you think the guys think? We'll let the women answer it. Because women always love to say that all guys think about is eros, right? So they talk about it all the time. I'm not sure if that's the case or not. I love the way you hold me. Do you guys agree that agape should be the ultimate goal? You have to say yes, right? Yes. The way I've set this up, you have no choice but to say yes. But do your actions actually show that? Does the way you live and the way you see things out show that? Go to the next slide there, Dalton. So I want us to think about how do we develop a mature agape love? How do we actually get there? How do we make Valentine's Day the best Valentine's Day that it can ever possibly be? I think in marriages and such, it's this development of agape love It's the same thing with friendships, good close friendships. It's the development of this over time that yield deep, meaningful relationships. So how do you develop this? How do you develop this? What's the next slide there? All right. Stop following your feelings and your desires. I think this is one of the most, or one of the least talked about topics. We just don't follow this very often, about how destructive this can be. As I think about relationships, and I talk to people at work in different places about relationships, once you start seeing that things are falling apart, once you start seeing that things are getting difficult, what I almost always find is that it's because the person is seeking out of the relationship their own desires. They're following their own feelings. They're talking about what do they want out of this, what do they think they ought to be getting out of this situation, and they're not stepping back to see what God wants. So go to the next bullet point there. So if you stop following your feelings and desires, what I would say, these are my words, you can chew on this and agree or disagree, I say start following God's mysterious wisdom. And I put mysterious in there intentionally because it takes time to grasp God's wisdom. It's not something you grasp overnight. It's not something that's really, really simple. This idea we talk around here about the last will be first and the first will be last, it's an easy thing to just roll off your tongue. It's a difficult thing to really grasp. Stop following your own feelings and desires. And of course, there's always times that, you know, you can't just blanket apply this to everything. But in general, stop following your own feelings and start following God's mysterious wisdom. I'm going to give you an example of that. Dalton, next slide. Now, this is a weird thing to talk about on Valentine's Day. But it's like one of my favorite stories in the Bible, so I talk about it a lot. So anybody know who Abraham is? Father Abraham. Yes. My name's Abram, and I actually, my niece went back and did some research because Abraham's name was Abram at one time, so I always wondered why my name didn't get changed. But it turns out that it did. So somewhere a few hundred years ago, for some reason, one of my ancestors changed the name, our name, back to Abram. I don't know why. But yes, Abraham, he's the chosen leader that the Israelites are going to come through. It's where it all began. He had a son named Isaac. Now, Isaac was his firstborn son. What's important about a firstborn son? Inheritance, yeah. The blessings, yeah. It's a weird thing. I don't really understand that. Excuse me? Special moments, yeah. Abraham and Isaac, Genesis 22. Abraham and Isaac. Next bullet point. And you're going to see where I'm going with this. God requests the unthinkable. So we've got an agape love we're trying to figure out here. We're trying to understand, how do you have this deep, meaningful relationship? You've got Abraham, this chosen leader of God's people, and you have God making an unthinkable request. The unthinkable request that God made to Abraham was, back in this time, sacrifices were a fairly common thing. You would sacrifice an animal, sacrifice a goat, you'd sacrifice a ram to show God respect. God says to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your firstborn son. I want you to do something that's the unthinkable. It's out there. It's ridiculous. God requests Abraham, do the unthinkable. Now, if you're trying to understand, why would God do this? What kind of a God would do this, right? It's the mysterious nature of God. That's what I'm talking about. It's very, very difficult for us to logically put two and two together for everything that God does. What's the next bullet point there? This is what's so just amazing about this story. Abraham obeys. It's a completely selfless obey that he does. You know it was tearing him apart. He absolutely didn't want to do it, had no interest in doing it. But he has total selfless agape love for God. And so he says, all right. As the story goes, what's the next bullet point? Nope, back up. That's okay. As the story goes, pull those bolts up again if you can. As the story goes, Abraham and Isaac head out. Isaac, he didn't even tell Isaac what's going on. So they head out. They're going to this place, this mountain that God said he'd show to Abraham in order to sacrifice his son. His son Isaac is saying, where's the sacrifice? Where's the animal? Where's whatever it is we're going to kill? And all Abraham keeps saying is that God's going to supply. God's going to supply. He just had this complete selfless trust in God that God was going to make this right. And when they get there, he ties up his son. He puts him on the wood. He's ready to light the fire. I mean, he's going all the way, completely selfless. And then God's agape love steps in. And God steps into the scene and says, whoa, 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 whoa. I was just seeing how deep your love really was for me. He says, look over there in that bush, and there's a ram, you know, stuck over in this bush. His horns are stuck in the bush. It came out of nowhere. Abraham goes over, takes the ram, replaces his son with the ram, and he sacrifices the ram instead. It was all God's kind of masterful way to create a story to prove how faithful Abraham was, to create a story that we're going to be able to read for thousands of years later to understand how deep God's love for us and how deep he expects our love to be for him. Completely selfless. Okay, now, next slide. Thank you. So how do you make Valentine's Day good? How do you make it good? Not great, but how do you make it good? Next point. Plan the day selflessly. It's easy. Now, the reason I'm saying good and not great, when we are becoming a selfless person, when we're deciding to give up our desires and give in our desires for somebody, a spouse, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, or just a good friend, we can't make them do it back to us. And it stinks, right? It stinks. And in fact, it stinks so much that how many of you want to be selfless to somebody, particularly if you're married to them, if they're not being selfless or you're not perceiving them as being selfless back to you? It's a very, very difficult thing. But what I want you to think about is that it's still a good day. And my experience has been in life, as I've talked to a lot of people over the years, this role of being selfless makes things very, very good, even in a difficult situation. And as soon as you start to move away from this, you've taken a good day and you've made it into a bad day. So if you want to make it a good day, if you want Valentine's Day to become a truly beautiful thing, you start planning that day selflessly. What's the next slide there? Because this is what ruins a Valentine's Day. When Jill and I were talking a few weeks ago, and I told her that Doug had told me to talk about love, it was funny that I said, what do you think I ought to talk about? And she said, unmet expectations. And it's like, yeah, is that not the craziest thing to talk about for Valentine's Day? It's like, what are you talking about? Who did I marry? But I want you guys to think about this. As soon as, well, let's go back to earlier in the thing when we talked about Valentine's Day and what are you thinking about coming up to Valentine's Day. How often do people, instead of planning a selfless Valentine's Day or even any other event in life, planning a selfless event to do for someone, do we in our minds plan what we want someone to do for us? That's a lot more fun, right? And I'm just going to go ahead and say, I think women specialize in this. That's been my experience, is that in their mind, they're like, okay, I'm thinking dinner and some kind of a gift, some kind of like really special gift, and like it's going to be the best gift ever, right? Right? They start building this up in their brain, like, you know, I'm expecting maybe thousands of dollars to be spent, right? Your brain starts going there, and you start building up these expectations. And then you guys meet for dinner, and he's wearing blue jeans and tennis shoes. Like, did he not take this dinner serious or what? You know? And where are we going? We're going to Chipotle. Spending the big bucks at Chipotle tonight, right? And you can have anything you want. You can have a burrito with meat if you want it tonight, right? It is amazing how unmet expectations, setting up expectations and having those not be met, destroys relationships so often. You've got people that get married based on, as I said earlier, eros type of love instead of agape type of love. People that decide they want to be with a person because of physical things instead of deep, heartfelt love. Can we see a problem, right? We've got a time. It's ticking. And those physical things don't last. That eros type of love is not going to endure. Agape love is going to endure, for sure. Yeah, I didn't even get into that. I know I'm really turning the knife on some single people here, so sorry about that. We can have unmet expectations with God? I thought he gave us everything. He's like Santa Claus, right?
Well, even Abraham had some unmet expectations until Isaac came along.
Yeah.
And for all those years,
he just wanted a kid. He was 100 years old before it happened. Yep. Unmet expectations are a good way to ruin relationships. Next slide, Dalton. Now, how do we make Valentine's Day great? Anybody got any idea from what I just said? You guys know how to make it good. You know how to ruin it, right? You know how to make it good. Anybody have any idea how you make it great? What did I say earlier about making it great? Is it within your control? Not really. Not really. Next point there, Dalton. When two selfless people unite, things get great. I don't care if you're talking Valentine's Day or anything else. I think Jill and I talk a lot about this, that it took me, Jill's a pretty selfless person, I'm not. It took me about 15 years of a so-called good marriage before I began to grasp that I didn't get married to Jill, or I should not have gotten married to Jill looking for what I was going to get out of it. I should have gotten married to Jill for what I could put into it. And once I made that decision that I was going to put into this marriage instead of trying to take out of it, she'd already made the decision. She was ahead of me. It's hard to explain. How does a good marriage go to a great marriage? It's kind of a hard thing to grasp, but it happened. Everyone would have looked at us for our first 15 years and said, it's a good marriage. They would have. You know, kids are not complete terrors and, you know, all this kind of stuff, right? But it did, and it was funny as it happened, and it was a really amazing thing. And that's how a Valentine's Day or any other day in your life becomes great, is when we unite two selfless people. This can happen in the workplace. In fact, this week I was kind of frustrated because I did a project that I was supposed to get extra money for. Money is the root of all evil, isn't it? Oh, the love of money is the root of all evil. Yeah, right. I get those two confused. So I had a project that I'm supposed to get paid some extra money for, and I like money. Anybody else like money? I do. I'm okay with it, at least. I normally won't turn it down. And a vice president just made a decision. You know what? We're not going to do that this year. So you just don't get that. Now, the truth of it is, if I get that money, I actually know it's not really going to make me happier. I know it. I know that. I can say that to myself 1,000 times. So he did me a favor, right? Life would have been worse if I'd had more money, right? So I should be celebrating. But I'm still pretty doggone ticked about it. I can't quite decide what to do, but I feel like I want to take some action. I just can't get selfless in this thing. I just can't do it. It's hard. All right, next slide. How do you make Valentine's Day great for God? Do you even have Valentine's Day with God? Isn't that creepy? You know, you guys haven't talked about the background. Isn't that awesome? Don't you like that? I searched the internet far and wide to find that background. Sweet. That's why I didn't get paid for the extra project. I was searching for this background. How do you make Valentine's Day great for God? What did you say, Judy?
Put God first.
Put God first.
He loves it.
Right, right. How does God make Valentine's Day great for us? Next bullet point. It's the same way that we make it great for us. God's already doing his half of this deal, guys. And don't kid yourself for a second that God is not being a selfless God. And you think, whoa, 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 whoa. What? Like, doesn't he require that we praise him? Doesn't he require that we give up everything? Okay. How can you say God is a selfless God? And by selfless, what I mean is that how can I say that God is a God that's after our best intentions? And it's because all the things that God is asking us to do are for our own good. And it's so tough to grasp that. I think it's incredibly tough to grasp that God's love for us, the things that we feel him asking us to do, are all about making us better people, are all about bringing more joy into our lives. God's already doing his part of it. And I intentionally use this word great with all caps. It's already a good day. Every day is a good day with God. Now, that's not. I understand you guys have bad days, and there's some of you in the middle of that right now. I get that. But there's certainly the potential out there because God is going to do his part, and we have to have a little faith in that. If we all of a sudden can become selfless and give it up for God, all of a sudden Valentine's Day becomes a great day. Dalton, have I got another slide? I think I do. Yes, selfless agape love. Okay, next point. All right, I love the way you hold me. This actually is a song called Hold Me that has this phrase in it. I'm going to play it for you guys here in a few minutes. But I want to have communion today, and we've got plenty of time, so we'll take several minutes here to take communion. And so, Savannah, have you started pouring any juice yet? You're all over it, huh? All right. What I'd like for you guys to do, a couple of volunteers, go back and start grabbing juices, and there's some bread, individual pieces of bread that we can spread around so somebody can grab that. And as they come around, just kind of raise your hand or something if you would like to take communion today, and they will hand that to you. We could use maybe a few more volunteers to go back there and help. Thanks, Chip.